between your luggles, a look at what's going on inside your head with Gail and Jay on BBC Radio Leeds.
Well, hello, welcome to the show. You're listening to BBC Radio Leeds. And today we're going to talk a little bit about resilience. We're talking about resilience. Why do we need to be resilient? Why can't we all just be right big, lovely, soft puddings and people will just have to deal with it if we start crying in the office? Actually, is that even what we're talking about? Well, let's talk to a man who knows. This is my guest for this week. He's called Jay Gardier. He works in mental health, learning and development for Leeds Mind. So he trains effectively on this subject. Hello again, Jay.
Hello.
What is resilience? What does resilience look like? Who's resilient?
Well, this is it. With resilience, it's one of those things that people think people are naturally really good at and have got, because we often compare ourselves to other people going, God, they're so resilient. How are they so well put together? When actually, resilience is a learned skill. And it's something that we figure out as we work through the process. And it's quite a tricky one because we hear the term resilience bandied about quite a lot these days. But actually, it's got to be a very personal version of it. The analogy I like to use is it's a suit of armour. So if you, every day of your life, had to wear a suit of armour, like, you know, the 1600s, and you didn't keep it in good check, and you didn't polish it, and you didn't WD-40 it, or you didn't keep it in good condition, that would be rusty, and it wouldn't be fit for purpose at the point where you needed it. So if you are wearing this suit of armour to try and manage and work through life these days, is keep it in good nick and polish that armour, because at the point where something perhaps goes wrong, or doesn't go the way you expected it to, or unexpected change, you're then ready for it and you're fighting fit.
Why do we talk about resilience in business quite a lot? Why is that not an emotion? Why is that a good thing? Why do we say, well, our staff needs to be more resilient? Is that just because it's what keeps the business going? Because it means that you stay in work?
Well, it could well be that there's ulterior motive behind that, but it's kind of being very careful about using the word, but meaning it. If you're just using the word resilience and we want to have a resilient workforce, well, you have to prove it. It's more about the groundwork of how do you show resilience? How do you keep people in a resilient mode? You're not going to be resilient 100% of the time. That's not what we're designed for. But it's just by using the term doesn't make that a thing that people can end up doing. It's showing it by example, for example. That would be leading by example is the term I'm looking for. But it's more about how you can show your resilience by demonstrating self-care and going, actually, this is something that's causing me a little bit of distress. It's filling this reservoir of resilience for me. How do I manage that? And how do I find the ways of being able to find an outlet for that?
And how do we do all these things? How do we take care of ourselves?
It's asking very stark questions of ourselves and making sure that you're taking time out. Even things as simple as taking breaks and going for lunch. How many of us these days, especially post-pandemic and now hybrid working and returning to office spaces, have now suddenly become in that mode of, I need to prove that I'm productive all day, every day, and always have a green dot showing on my screen, when actually, you're going to be a more productive human if you actually took a break and go for lunch. I like to use micro breaks. So a 3-minute breather, just stepping away from a laptop or going away and just going for a cup of tea, or, you know, those kind of things can definitely be part of your structure. If you need a reminder, use your technology as your best advantage. Throw it in your Outlook calendar and go, that's where I'm going to take a break. I'm going to have a micro break, or set alarms or buzzers. And it kind of helps you navigate and manage your day a little bit better.
So it's quite a bit of confidence, that, 100%. Doesn't it?
I mean, you know, speaking of kind of the pandemic, I was working from home for a big block of time. So I ended up missing the commute. And I know that probably sounds like a swear word to most people.
Okay.
But I ended up missing it because I was like, that's my downtime. That's the time that I use post-work. Once I've finished work and, you know, closed my laptop and left the office, that's my time that my brain is resetting to get me in a mode of going home and enjoying my evening and enjoying my time out of work. But because I was working from home, the dining table, that's where the laptop was, and I'd just log off, head away, and then just immediately try and click a finger and go, I'm now in home mode. It doesn't work that way. Mm. So I would fake the commute. I'd get in the car, drive around the village 3 or 4 times and stick a podcast on or a radio show and stick some music on, get back to my own house 25 minutes later and walk into the house, and my brain would have been fooled into thinking I've done the commute, and I didn't once think about putting the laptop back on again. So it's kind of almost finding ways that match how you want to work through the structure of your day, especially in work.
Aren't we interesting creatures, really, when you think about it? Because I've worked throughout the whole pandemic. I consider myself extremely lucky to have done that because of the kind of person that I am. I once worked from home earlier in my life, and I worked from home for 3 months and I gave it up. I can't do this. I need people. I need a routine. I need to go into work. And I ended up feeling like my home was my prison. All I wanted to do was get out, but I was unable to do that because my work was keeping me there. And I felt very unresilient. I thought, How can I not work at home? What's wrong with me? You know? And you do look at other people all the time and see resilience in others. And you see somebody who you think of as being tough, strong, steely, you know, not emotional, really. And you think, gosh, I wish I could be like that.
Yeah.
But actually, those people, they're not always how they appear, are they?
No, absolutely not. I think a lot of the time we look at other people and go, God, they're so resilient and well put together. When actually what they are doing often is what I call the swan, gliding gracefully through life with a veneer of I'm completely okay. When actually they could be just as panicked under the surface as the rest of us. But we often look at other people because we're trying to benchmark ourselves against other people, especially kind of in the workplace and those dynamics of kind of the workplace. Even if it is working from home, we're kind of still doing a little bit of that benchmarking. But it's that comparison. Again, it's that the narrative of comparison that we have. And we end up then being a detriment and kicking ourselves in our own shins because we then go, well, how are they so resilient with stuff? And how do they respond to that so well when actually I feel really panicked about this?
Yeah.
When actually it's very much like a human version of social media, because it could be that it's a veneer of look how perfect things are. And that's what gets posted. But we don't always know the full side of the other side of the story. We don't know what's behind that veneer of perfect Instagram or perfect life. We look back and go, ah, okay, actually, there's perhaps some things that other people don't know about.
Yeah.
They're kind of showing this version of I'm a deeply resilient human. People who are deeply resilient, though, are ones that are very clever about saying to themselves, I know that things are going to go wrong, that life is going to have a funny way of throwing a right spanner in my works.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. Well, resilience, interesting. From that, I think I've got a little bit of inner confidence is required just to say, you know what, we're all a bit different. And you are enough. I keep hearing that as a saying at the moment. You are enough. And actually, you never know what's going on in anybody else's heads, really, do you?
100%.
Okay, Jay. Well, thank you for that. We shall move on to an entirely different subject tomorrow, all to do with that big, soft, fatty tissue in our heads. Jay Gardia from Leeds Mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Between Your Lug Holes, a look at what's going on inside your head with Gail and Jay on BBC Radio Leeds. For more information, head over to leedsmind.org.uk.